Hello, and welcome to Season 3 of the HLab Podcast. My name is Grace Kim. I'm a 3L at Harvard Law School, and I'm your new host. Thank you for joining us, and before I introduce our very special guest, I'd like to give a big shout-out to our sponsor, Cooley, for generously making this next season of the HLab Podcast possible. On today's episode, we talk to Ben Ho, known to many of you as the HLab Podcast host for Seasons 1 and 2. Ben Ho joins us as a founder of this podcast and shares his reflections and insights after successfully producing two seasons, graduating Harvard Law School, and beginning his associateship at Cooley New York. We will also introduce the next season, so please stay tuned for what's ahead. If you enjoyed this episode, please take a few seconds to give us a five-star rating on your favorite podcast app and to stay up to date on the latest episodes. Okay, today we have a very special guest joining us on the show, our very own original host and producer, Ben Ho. Ben, you have been such a wonderful host for the past two seasons of the podcast, and what an exciting opportunity this is to learn more about the very person that came up with the idea and created this podcast. Let's go ahead and jump right in and hear from our host. Hi, Ben. Welcome to the HLab Podcast.
Oh, man. Hi, Grace. How are you doing? It's so exciting to be on and so weird to be hearing somebody else ask that question.
It's finally your turn to be on the hot seat today. And we're all so excited to hear more about you. And as I'm sure many listeners are curious as well, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself? What was your journey sort of even to law school like?
Sure. So I'll start with myself. Hi, everyone. My name is Ben Ho. I'm your former host of this wonderful podcast that Grace is now hosting. Thank you so much for tuning in again. So I just graduated from Harvard Law School in May, and I will soon be joining Cooley's New York City office as a first-year associate in the corporate group, where I will be working on all the things we learned about in season one, helping clients throughout the corporate lifecycle. And yeah, so I guess like my journey to law school, I grew up in Singapore, immigrated to the US for high school, and then went to college. But before law school, I worked for the family business I helped found, first in education consulting and then immigration consulting. So what I did was help international students study in America, and then eventually it helped their families immigrate to America. And on the immigration front, I worked with a lot of founders and startups to help them establish US subsidiaries. And I think, you know, it was really the experience of working with founders that made me realize that that's what I wanted to do as a lawyer. And that's what led me to law school. So eventually I decided that it was time to go to law school, took the LSAT, submitted the apps, got into my dream schools, and then started at Harvard in the fall of 2020. And I guess the rest is history, right?
That's awesome. And it's so cool to hear how you've been working with founders and almost basically was a founder yourself before even starting law school.
Yep.
Are there any other interests, hobbies, or things that you did outside of law school and this podcast?
Sure. You know, I mean, I was very involved with HLab, of course. And, you know, I think something that we'll probably discuss later on is in 2 and 3L, you have a little bit more time to explore interests, right? So, you know, I think the basic things, like I like working out, you know, I like reading if I even have like a reprieve, and which is something that I get to do right now between school and work before it starts. But I think if I have any extra time, I'd love to spend it with my family. So if that's what I do when I don't have any other current projects that I'm working on, I guess.
No, that, and what a great way to spend your time. You just said that as 2Ls and 3Ls, yep, you have a little bit more time to explore your interests. Additionally, sort of in law school, I think it's easy to sort of become passive because a lot of gold stars are sort of designated for you already. What sort of compelled you in your second and third year to stay engaged, active, to even think about starting a podcast on top of all the other law school things you were doing?
Sure. So firstly, I should say this. I realized that law school, and especially Harvard Law School, is an amazing opportunity. And there are so many ways to spend it, right? But for some people, it's really about the academics. And for others, it's professional development or having the time to explore certain interests, right, beyond the pressures of work. And there's nothing wrong with the choices you make, but I think that there are more or less valuable investments you can make with your time, right? So for me, I think I have two pivotal moments. The first pivotal moment is when I started in 1L. We happened to be online because of COVID, which, you know, it really sucked, but it really taught me the importance of intentionality. Because once you spend all your time on Zoom, the last thing you want to do is get on another pointless Zoom. And so that means it took away a lot of the opportunities for spontaneously meeting people and getting involved in things. And so we had to be very intentional about how we planned our time. And I think that sense of the importance of intentionality that year never really left me. And it carried over into 2L, right? So then I got into 2L, and it was, again, quite an uncomfortable time, because when you think about 1L, Grace, you remember this, it was such a busy time. Like, there was always something to do. If you weren't reading, you were outlining. If you weren't outlining, there's another legal research and writing project, right? So it was really regimented. But in 2L, it's like all the guardrails fall off, and you're suddenly expected to just figure it out on your own. And certainly, at least that's the case at Harvard Law School. It's like a choose your own adventure. You have to decide for yourself what it is you want. And I decided from the very beginning that I wasn't going to just chase another gold star, because I think law school is very demanding. And if you're not careful about how you guard your time, you're going to be involved in yet another journal, right? And extra obligations that you never actually wanted, right? So I just decided I was only going to get involved in the things that I found exciting and that fed me and gave me energy. And I thought that was how I would get involved and meet people who are also likely excited about the same things. And that's how I've met people like you, right? And other people who are interested in startups and et cetera. So it wasn't before long when I realized how amazing of an opportunity HLEP was, and you know, became president a semester later after fall of 2L, and then started this podcast. So and Grace, the start of the podcast is something you're probably very familiar with. I was planning our symposium at the time, and it was about Web3. And I, you know, about 2 weeks from this event, I thought to myself that, you know, we have so many amazing speakers lined up, but let's be honest, like most law students will come to these events, get their free lunch and leave.
Exactly. Yep. Right. Always for the free lunch.
So
that is
true. I mean,
true,
we need, we need to feed our students, of course. But, you know, I just thought to myself, this is such a shame, because we had so many amazing speakers lined up and there are so many people beyond the university that could benefit from such an event. And I thought, I wonder if there was a way that HLEP could share its resources and its programming with people beyond the Harvard community. And right then and there, the idea to start a podcast dropped into my heart. And I knew that's what I had to do. It was it was ambitious. It was very intimidating, but it was exciting. And I just thought, I had to do this. And so I leaned all the way in, and here we are.
I remember when you first mentioned the podcast and how excited you were. And I could just tell in your eyes that you had something very, very big planned. So sort of with the creation of the podcast, what were some of the intentional goals or maybe benchmarks that you set for yourself? I don't know if you ever imagined filming up to 2 seasons.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, I'll be honest, my initial expectations were very low. I mean, I just thought that getting the project off the ground was already a win. And I didn't think too much beyond that. I remember thinking to myself, if I can get 2,000 listens, like, this is a win, right? But obviously, I had a lot of fun with it. And I learned so much playing these episodes and talking to so many wonderful speakers. And, you know, the first season was really about introducing 1Ls to the corporate life cycle and asking all the questions I wish I knew how to ask when I was going through recruiting. Because I was somewhat fresh from our OCIs, which we call EIP, but it's the same thing. And there were just so many questions I didn't know how to ask. So I thought, hey, let's help the 1Ls go through recruiting. But you know, after that, I realized, okay, so second season, it just seemed like the natural progression was to address that choose your own adventure style of 2L, right, and beyond. So we focused on three areas. The first area was about pivots and personalities, which is, you know, meeting all the guests who pivoted beyond the law and hearing their stories for how they did so.
And one of my favorite parts of the second season, series.
Absolutely, because, you know, you had all these amazing people who had come before us and understandably gone through the same anxieties and questioning and not knowing what to do, but then they figured it out. So I figured we would have the benefit of hearing from several people who have done the same and given us like their roadmaps, right? And I guess beyond hearing their stories, we were also sort of, you know, in this downturn, you know, somewhat like a recession. We haven't called it a recession yet, but it kind of is, right?
Right.
Which was such a crazy time, because when I was in 1L and then like basically the first part of 2L, the markets were crazy. There was so much work in legal space. And then we hit this downturn. So I thought it'd be a good way to just learn about what lawyering in a recession is like. And then eventually also about learning about emerging industries, right? Like space law, which we'll learn about AI soon, Grace. You're going to tell us about that, right? But I just figured that this is where the current and future unicorn startups are being founded. And it would be a great, great way to introduce our listeners to the space. So this is how it's progressed over time. It wasn't like I knew what it was going to be like from the beginning, but always about introducing people to this esoteric profession.
Right. And you've had such an amazing opportunity to bring in amazing guests, hear their insights. Is there something sort of big picture that you feel like you've learned from bringing these people in? Is there anything that you feel like you can apply? Like, in other words, you've taught so many of us. What has the podcast taught you?
Wow, that is some high praise, Grace. Thank you very much. So I think, you know, if you were anything like me and most law students, you came to law school without knowing much about what lawyering is really like, right? And like I said, it's such an esoteric profession. It's such a black box, and it's difficult to even know how to ask the right questions. And every speaker I brought on agrees. And that's why they agreed to come share their perspectives, because this podcast is really about, you know, shedding more light and giving more access to what lawyering is really like. And in so many ways, you know, I've met so many people. I can't really like say there's one thing for sure I could call out, but I think if there is one episode, I think about Matt Levine, right? So I think they all share such great advice, but Matt Levine's advice is something that just sticks with me. He says, you got to know when to get off the treadmill, right? So he says law students are used to grinding and chasing the gold stars, but eventually they have to know when to position themselves to exercise the options they create for themselves. And you know what? That's not going to happen after 1L, right? And probably not after 1 year in big law, but there will come a time, and only you will know when that really is. And it's about having the courage to do so. And if you want examples for what it's like to lean in, just listen to all the Pivots and Personality speakers, right? They each took that leap of faith, left big law after some time, and they've never looked back.
What a great pitch for the season two. Ben, you have mentioned gold stars twice now, and I'm just sort of curious, the pressure is sort of on when you get here. I mean, we've been chasing gold stars our entire life. What did it take for you to sort of put that aside and to start being a little bit more intentional? And what sort of advice would you give in terms of people who are maybe trying to balance, you know, chasing a gold star versus trying to figure out something more intentional for themselves?
Yeah. I think for me, it's sort of like asking yourself, what is it that feeds your energy and what takes away from it, right?
Yeah.
I can tell you, look, and why now? I hated blue booking.
How
right?
could
I
you?
Hated it. So there was no way I was going to do another journal. I mean, it's like there are things that you do that you feel like you have to do. But when you do them, you realize like, I don't like this. Like I would much rather be doing something else. I would much rather be, you know, working out, working on this project, doing this instead, reading cases, if even, right? And I think like, if that's what you feel, and that's something, then that's a reason for you to evaluate and ask yourself whether or not it should be how you're spending your time, right? But then there are other things that really feed you. Like for example, this podcast was something that fed me and gave me a lot of energy. Meeting founders, meeting other law students that were interested in learning more about ECBC fed me energy. So I would try to organize my time accordingly. And I don't think that we get to go through law school doing only the things that we want to do. But I just think of it as a balancing skill, right? If I come out on the day like doing more things that feed me energy versus things that take away from me, then this is a good day spent. And if there are too many days where I feel like I'm just doing things I'm obligated to do and feeling tired at the end of the day, then it's time to, you know, reorganize how I spend my time.
Right. And I sort of feel as if even in the Pivots and Personalities episodes, a lot of the guests talked about exactly that, finding something that gave them energy. And I'm curious, have there been any pivots in your own career throughout law school just yet? I know you've worked with founders before and you're interested in the space, but was there ever a moment when you thought of doing something else or something that led you back to wanting to do this work?
Wow, I wonder if I... Yes, I can actually think of a particular moment. Well, two moments. The first moment was, look, I already came to law school knowing I was probably most likely going to work in the corporate space. Right. But it took 2 days of law school to realize like, yeah, this is definitely the case. I was in CivPro class, you know, getting ready to be cold called and not knowing anything I read and just being deathly afraid and realizing, oh my God, this is not for me. Right. But thankfully stuck with it. You know, it all comes like, hey, look, if you're a 1L right now, listen to this, it all comes together during finals period. Right. So I think it's not so much that first moment wasn't so much a pivot as a affirmation of the fact that I was likely never going to be a litigator, right? But I think the first major moment where, like, I guess my resolve was tested was at the end of EIP or OCIs for us. We had all our offers from all these amazing firms, which you all, you know, come to have to ask for yourselves when you get your offers too. And I had to decide between going to this traditional white shoe firm or going to work for a firm like Cooley, because that's what I came to law school wanting to do. And I think we should talk about the fact that as law students, we are kind of drawn to the prestige and all that, right? And that's like the shiny gold star that we have to ask ourselves, is that really what we want, because you've been chasing this all the way to this point. Now, when are you going to decide to do, to lean into things that you care about more than just what people think about, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think I know what my heart wanted. I wanted to go to a firm like Cooley and work with clients in the startup space, but my head was coming up with all these reasons for why I should probably try out the, you know, this other white shoe firm, right? And it was hard for me to make that decision until I realized, hey, you know what? I believe that startups are now in the economies that will come to define like the next century and such. And I thought, look, I worked with a founder. I worked with many founders at HLEP. And I realized that working with them is what fed me because I could identify with their challenges as a former founder myself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have to do the things that make you realize that law is more than just like the words on the page, right? Mm-hmm. And I felt that because I could identify with these founders, this is the kind of clients that I should be really working with. And you know, that gave me the courage to decide to kind of lean all the way in. So I guess like I didn't really have too many pivots, but I had temptations to pivot away, you know. Mm-hmm. But thank God I affirmed those decisions because I'm just so very excited about the decisions I made. And I know that I've spent law school the way that I've wanted to spend, you know.
Yeah, I think we'll have to check back in with you in 10 years and you've had a little bit more time to invest in your career to see if you've made any additional pivots or stayed on the EC track. We'll have to see. Students who similarly might have some sort of interest in emerging companies and want to know more, of course, they should listen to this podcast. But do you have any other advice as to how they can sort of really, you know, cement that this is what they want to do?
Yeah. So I think, you know, it really depends on what resources are available at your law school, right? I think for us at Harvard, we're so lucky to have HLEP, mm-hmm. right? HLEP, as you all know, is the Harvard Law Entrepreneurship Project. It gives us the opportunity to work with founders, right? And helping them deal with some of their legal questions to get started. So I would say like, if you have a student org like that, get involved, right? Get involved in the clinic, get your hands in the mud and learn how to research questions that you may not know how to do research and start with. And you get the guidance of usually a lawyer who's done the kind of work and they will tell you what to do. So you don't ever have to feel like you have to figure it out on your own. Mm. So get involved, right? And if you don't have those resources, I would just say that's why we have this podcast, right? It's just about giving access to people beyond the Harvard community so that they can learn and take advantage of the same resources that we have. And then if that's not the only thing that you do, hey, reach out to some lawyers who are doing this, you know? Mm-hmm. I think one thing that this podcast has really taught me is the importance of intentionality and also how willing people are to help, right? For so many of the guests could have just ignored my emails, right? Mm-hmm. But they didn't. They came on and they were willing to share their advice because somebody had helped them and there was a big sense of paying it forward in this profession. And I would just advise everybody to have the courage to take advantage of that, take advantage of the people that have come before you and just ask them for their advice and we could benefit so much from hearing from their perspectives.
Yeah, that's great. And Ben, you've brought on very big names onto the show and I'm sure it must have been daunting cold emailing them and similarly just daunting making this idea into reality. And I'm sure there are students out there or individuals in general who also want to take a big leap like you to take a risk to create something. Is there anything that you could share in terms of words of encouragement, some advice to those students or individuals who also want to make that leap?
Yeah, I think that there are two ways to get involved in law school, right? One way is to kind of go down the tried and proven paths, right? There are student orgs, there are journals, there are things that you can do that other students have done. And ask yourself, you know, if that's what you want to do, how can you create value? How can you add to the space? Because the more people you help, it's going to come right back to you, right? So just start there. Think about how you can create some value. And then the other way of doing it is to do something new because you don't see the same resources available or you don't see the same opportunities there. And that's what I kind of did both, right, with HLEP. We didn't have a podcast before. But all I'm going to say is this. It is a lot of work, but it is worth it. Right. Mm-hmm. So, and how will you know if it's going to worth it? If it's something that feeds you energy anyway, as you do it, right? So it can be something you do to create value, but it can also feed you right back. So just have the courage to think about how you can create value. If it's an existing student org, how can you add something new there? And if it's doing something new like this podcast for HLEP, It could be something else. Mm-hmm. You just come up with something that you feel you might be good at and that you feel you can also learn as you put it together. Mm-hmm. And that you feel other people can benefit from too. So I think if you can answer these three questions for yourself, you know, you're off to the races. Just have the courage to lean in.
That's awesome. So I hope a lot of our listeners can get that courage to sort of lean in. With any project that you take on, there's always going to be challenges, things that sort of come up. Yeah. And as somebody who, you know, started, hosted, produced all by yourself, I'm sure you had a ton of those. Can you just give us some examples how you sort of overcame them, how you were able to persevere for this podcast to move on to its second and now third season?
Yeah, you know, honestly, thanks for asking that, Grace, because in so many ways, running this podcast, starting it really felt like I was just running a mini startup, right? I had to get these speakers, get the funding, produce two seasons, put it all together, run through all the challenges, things I never anticipated. But I think, you know, if your reason for why you're doing something is clear, then you can overcome most challenges, right? So for me, it was just very clear to me that why I was doing this. It was about, I thought about the person I was in 1L trying to go through recruiting, asking the questions and not knowing how to ask the right questions to get the answers I really wanted to learn more about the profession. And I figured that that's the listener we're going for, right? Mm. I thought if I can just shed more light in this space, this is the motivation I need to keep going. And then of course, like as I was producing these episodes and seasons, it was very rewarding. And that was the fuel that kept me going, right? So I think much like I've said before, do the things that feed you, have a very clear reason for why, and whatever challenges come your way, you'll find a way to overcome it because you're going to have the will to do so, right?
That's great. And I guess just for the incoming 1Ls or students who maybe heard your podcast, help them get into law school, is there anything you sort of wish you had done differently through law school? Is there any advice you would give to students in terms of what they should avoid other than being intentional in the others? Yeah.
Yeah, wow. I wonder what else I'd add. I just say that if you're a 1L right now, you'll probably listen to this episode in the fall and maybe a few weeks from finals or maybe right after it and freaking about your results. We've all been there, right? I think for 1Ls, know that so many people before you have felt confused and scared and, you know, faced the anxiety of cold calls and not knowing how to produce an exams. I don't think that there's a more difficult semester than 1L fall, mm-hmm. right? After this, it's a lot easier because now you realize you know what to expect. Mm-hmm. So I think I would have had less, I wish I spent less time worrying about things. But then again, I feel like we're all law students and lawyers. This is what we do. We're paid to worry, right?
Mm-hmm. That is so very true, yeah.
I wish I had spent less time worrying about the outcomes. Because I do feel that everything just kind of finds its way, you know? And you do find, you'll find a way too, because you're all smart enough. You're all hardworking. That's why you're here. And you know, it's all going to work out in the end. So if you're, besides being intentional, besides knowing how to spend your time, just worry less. Mm-hmm. And this is a piece of advice I'd continuously give myself because it's hard to break out from this mold, right?
That is very true. Yeah. Ben, so this podcast, although it was a solo project, you had a lot of supporters on the way, as well as many amazing guests and people around you. I'm sort of curious, what were your favorite moments? What sort of relationships were you able to create coming out of the two seasons?
Oh, I'm just smiling because I think of all the wonderful moments throughout. So it's really hard to pinpoint all of them. I think like the day that the podcast launched was a very momentous day for me. That was June 16, 2022, which was almost exactly 4 months from the day that the idea popped into my heart. So that was a very special day for me. I think of the day when we had our last recording and I handed the mic off to you, which, you know, really nice picture. Maybe it's already circulating by this time the listeners are listening. I think those are really wonderful moments. I think about all the amazing speakers I met. There really isn't any one in particular that I'd be like, this is my favorite episode, because they're all very special to me. And I already mentioned Matt Levine's advice. I'm going to single that one out because he's kind of a hero of mine. So I'd encourage all of you to be reading his newsletter, Money Stuff. Funny story is when he got on the first time, his camera wasn't working. And it was sort of a freak out moment for me because I thought this is such a busy person. It's already going so poorly in the recording. And it turned out all he had to do was restart his computer. And he was very kind. He had so much, showed so much grace and gave us such a wonderful episode. So you know, it wasn't like it was only smooth. There were moments where I felt scared and intimidated too, but I just am so thankful that everybody gave me the time of day and were so nice and shared their advice so genuinely, right? And then I think about the people that really supported us along the way. So there were so many of them, but in particular, I think of Matan Newman. Matan was an upperclassman. You know, Matan, thank you so much for convincing me not to make the podcast about Web3 and getting me to pivot to Cradle to Exit in season one, because if it was about Web3, maybe this would have been a very different podcast, right? I think of Chris Murray, another upperclassman. He was such a great supporter throughout and was always available to kind of talk me through, encourage me through this. I think of Mazelle, another upperclassman. She was like a mom of the podcast. She started the Dandelions podcast, HLS, and she was a great resource for getting started. And of course, Joe Blim, our sound engineer, you know, he helped make so many, he did a lot of magic. There were many episodes that I thought was going to fail because of all the background noise. But guys, you heard some really wonderful episodes because of Joe's work. And of course, I thank all the supporters and all the sponsors for helping us fund our project and Grace and for you, because you are our new host, right? And you were a great help along the way.
Ben, it's so great to hear that you're able to speak with one of your personal like role models, as well as just to hear how the podcast, although it was thought up by you, it was also sort of created by the hands of many, right? To hear the guidance and support you're able to receive throughout. What are some of sort of moving forward, what is like some visions that you have for the HLAP podcast in the future?
You know, Grace, I feel like it's a question for you. You're our new host, right? I mean, yes, I do hope that this project continues being a resource to many law students. You know, like I said before, I do feel like it's such an esoteric profession, and whatever we can do to pay it forward and make open more doors to people in the space, all the better. But I'm sure our listeners will want to learn from the new host of the HLAP podcast. So Grace, what do we have waiting for us in season three?
Yeah, so Ben, like we're really hoping to sort of highlight some industries that people might not necessarily know about or be in tune with or even think of when we say emerging companies. And similarly, a lot of the founders sort of mirroring your Pivots and Personality series, they're also going to be sharing stories about how they got to where they are. And I think as lawyers or as investors or law students, it's important to know those stories to know how to better support these people. So I'm just hoping to present some new and interesting insights, perspectives, and just sort of open up the idea of emerging industries more to our listeners.
Yeah, Grace, I think that's incredible. I can't wait to tune in. And I think the same thing I keep hearing from every single one of my interviews, and I'm sure it will be the case moving forward, is that a lot of these people just maybe didn't have all the answers from the beginning, right? A lot of it was unplanned, and careers kind of only make sense backwards, right? Like what Jonah Perlin said in the final episode. I'm really excited to hear about how they found their path, because that's just going to be another blueprint for many of us tuning in.
Right. So Ben, I just want to say very quickly, thank you so much for this opportunity to host. Ben was one of my mentors throughout law school, and he really got me super excited about the emerging company space that I personally did not really know existed before coming to law school. And his podcast helped me with exactly that. I'm super excited for the next season as well. And in terms of learning more, Ben, the other day, a 1L who, you know, matriculated after he had left came up and asked, "Do I know Ben Ho?" And he was talking about how your episodes, your admissions episodes, the information that you shared in terms of lawyering, all of that really influenced him to join law school, to also join the Harvard Law Entrepreneurship Project, and inspired him to also sort of join this industry. And so on behalf of students like him, as well as listeners who are inspired by the guests that you bring on, the stories that you're sharing to the world, we just want to say thank you.
Thank you so much for that, Grace. It means a lot. And I think, you know, it helps affirm all the reasons why I even wanted to, you know, launch this project in the first place. And I know the project's going to be in good hands.
Thanks, Ben.
Thank you for listening to Season 3 of the HLAP podcast, proudly brought to you by Cooley. We'd like to thank our sound engineer, Job, and of course, Ben Ho, for sharing his time and insights with us. Join us next time to learn more about emerging industries. And as always, if you enjoyed this episode, please give us a 5-star rating. The HLAP podcast is a production of the Harvard Law Entrepreneurship Project, an officially recognized Harvard Law School student organization. The views and opinions expressed in the podcast are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the Harvard Law School or Harvard University.